out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 5th of December 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got three news stories for us today. The first one's pretty humorous, really, and predictable. Once again, we are being shown that there are differences between white people and black people. And once again, the only answer that can be offered is that it must be racism that's causing these differences. And the differences that are being highlighted today are outcomes in driving tests. Driving examiners have been accused of racism and sexism after official figures revealed black women are far less likely than white men to pass their driving test. Now, I would say that that is entirely predictable. I would say that it is predictable that, one, women will be less likely than men to pass their driving test, and two, Negroes will be less likely than Caucasians to pass their driving test, and I would base that entirely on the average IQ. I wouldn't be blaming misogyny or racism for that. That's just a predictable outcome from the biological reality. Yet there's no mention of that here, of course. Black female motorists had the lowest pass rate at 32%, while white men had the highest pass rate at 56%, figures released by the Driver and Vehicle Standards Agency show. This is entirely predictable. You would expect white men to have a higher pass rate. You wouldn't expect them to be equal. Overall, men are also significantly more likely to pass their test than women. This is just proof that there are differences between men and women and differences between blacks and whites. All the evidence is there, and yet people just ignore it. People just pretend that it must be another conclusion. There must be another conclusion from this. Because we don't have the same outcomes, it must be because of racism. No, it's not because of racism. It's because they have a lower average IQ. According to the DVSA data covering 2008 to last year, 50% of men passed compared with 43% of women. Again, that's a predictable number, really. You would expect women still to have a pretty high pass rate, but you would still expect it to be slightly lower than men. There are other instances that you would expect there to be a higher pass rate of men than women, and that would be in STEM studies, in the study of things, basically, objects. And if you were talking about something to do with emotions, you would imagine that women would have a higher pass rate than men, because the domain of the man is the thing and the domain of the woman is emotions. And emotions aren't any help when you're driving. The last thing you want is to be overcome by emotion when you're driving a car. I should imagine these women started getting nervous and that's why they failed their tests. 2016 to 2017 data from the UK's 347 larger test centres showed that black and Asian people had a pass rate of 39% compared with the 54% for white people. And of course, what they mean by Asians there is non-whites. They don't mean Chinese there. They mean Pakistanis. And we know that the Pakistanis and the Indians, they have an IQ that's somewhere between the Negro and the white man. Why is that? That's because that's what they are. They are a blended mix of Negro and Caucasian. They are a mixed race. That's where they come from. Now, there's a simple way to prove this. I'm not sure if it's the same in America or elsewhere, but here in Britain, we have a theory test as well as a driving test. There are two components to the test. The theory test is a multiple choice test that you just fill out. There's no driving instructor involved. And it doesn't actually tell you the results of the theory test here, but I would make a bet that the theory tests show the same, that the theory tests show that blacks and women are less likely to pass the test than white men are. And that's got nothing to do with the examiner. You can predict the same thing happening at schools. You can predict that white people will have better exam results than blacks. And that's even with all the resources that they are now putting into trying to raise the black standard of education. Blacks get free study if they want to go to universities. They get free transport if they want to go to university. They get grants if they want to go to university. They get money help. They get education help. They don't even have to get such a high exam result in order to get into university as white people. And yet still, there are only a fraction of them at the top universities. And again, this is entirely predictable because they have a much lower IQ. And the more Negroes you import into a country, the lower the average IQ of that country is going to be, because it will drag it down. And this is why the average IQ in Britain has been continually dropping for the last few decades. Ever since immigration started, the average IQ has been dropping in Britain. And that's the reason for it. It's not racism that's the cause of this. It's just biological differences. The racial gap, highlighted by The Guardian, what a surprise that The Guardian would be claiming that this is racism that caused this, is biggest in Basingstoke and Hampshire, where 49% of white applicants and 27% of those from ethnic minorities passed. So what this is saying is basically the ethnic minorities are only half as good as the white people. They're only half as good as white people at driving. And what this really should mean is that white people are careful about getting in taxis if there are non-whites driving them. I wonder if there is a discrepancy in the number of accidents that are caused. Are they going to say that it's the white man's fault that there are more accidents caused by Negroes? Because you would guess that if they are only half as likely to pass their driving test as white people, that even once they have passed their driving test, they would probably be more likely to have an accident. I bet they don't record that, though. Jabir Butt, head of the Race Equality Foundation, said that the figures showed racism at play. Even when a driving test should be an objective test, it's clear that subjective rules are being applied, he said. No, it's not clear that subjective rules are being applied. What is clear is that there is a discrepancy in the pass rates, the same as there is a discrepancy in the pass rates at exams, the same as there is a discrepancy in the pass rates to get work in an application forms. It's because Negroes just aren't as good at some things as white people are. White people aren't as fast as Negroes at running in a sprint. We don't say that that's caused by black racism against whites, do we? We just accept that there is a difference there. We don't say that it's racism that keeps blacks out of chess championships, because it's not. It's their average IQ that keeps them out of chess championships. He says, this is Jabir Butt, the head of the Race Equality Foundation. He says, we know in other areas of life that black and minority ethnic women tend to do the poorest, and we are now seeing this replicated in driving. Yes, we do know that. There's nothing to say that it's racism, though. I would say that there is everything to prove that it's not racism. Everyone's doing their damnedest to not appear racist. Everybody is trying to show how diverse they are and how many blacks they've got at university, how many blacks that they are employing, how they've got a black friend. You know, the United States of America has had a black president. They're so desperate to show that they're not racist. If we were racist, we would not be allowing anyone into the country at all, and we'd be sending all the ones that are here back. We are the least racist people on the planet. Whites bend over backwards to help these other races. I mean, what other race would accept this, that it's because of their prejudice that some other race isn't doing so well in their driving tests? This is just such an insult to the people that are actually taking the tests. What are they going to say? Well, we must have more black driving examiners. Is that going to improve the situation? That's what they think is going to happen if they have black judges. They think if you have black judges, there will be less Negroes sent to prison, because they are assuming that the reason why there are more Negroes in prison is because there's some kind of bias in the judges, not that it's because Negroes are far more likely to commit crimes, which is patently obvious. All you have to do is look at Africa to see where the amount of crimes that they commit. There's no racism in black countries in Africa, is there? And yet they commit massive amounts of crime. Dare say we could also look at the driving test results in Africa and see what their driving is like. It's notoriously bad driving in these non-white countries, not just in Africa, but in India as well. Omar Khan, the chief of the Runnymede Trust, a race equality think tank, stressed that caution must be applied when interpreting the data. Yes, caution really should be applied, but it's obviously not, because they're blaming racism for it. But he said there appeared to be a bias in favour of white men, who also tended to be the examiners. The claims were rejected by the industry. Why does it have to be a bias in favour of white men? Why is it not just blacks aren't that good at driving? Could that not possibly be the reason for this? Isn't that the first reason that you would think of, is that, well, they're not very good at driving then? And what if it was Chinese that weren't doing so well? What if it was old men that weren't doing so well? If it was old men that weren't passing their driving exams as much as younger men, they wouldn't say, well, it's because the driving instructors are being ageist towards the old men, are they? They would say, well, it's probably due to their eyesight. It's probably due to their reactions not being so quick, because they're elderly. This is a nonsense to claim that this is some kind of racism among the examiners. Speaking on behalf of the Driving Instructors Association, Karen Bransgrove said, "The reason people fail their tests has nothing to do with racism or sexism or where they are from. It is down to the way they prepare for their test." A bit of reality there, a little bit of sense there, finally, from somebody. Thank you, Karen Bransgrove. Ian McIntosh, head of RED Driving School, added, "Our mission is to teach safe driving, and this is not affected by gender, religion, ethnicity, or any other variable." And the DVSA's chief driving examiner, Mark Wynne, said, "All candidates are assessed to the same level." So we have got some common sense being taught there, but we can see that these race equality think tanks, these race equality foundations, that's all they exist for, is to claim that the reason why blacks aren't doing well is because of racism, is because of the nasty white man. And yet we are the ones that pay for these black and minority ethnic think tanks. We don't have any equality think tanks for white people. We don't have a white man's foundation. And yet we pay for these equality foundations to agitate to get special treatment for non-whites. Is that the sort of behaviour of a racist, to pay for foundations and think tanks to make your own race feel guilty? It's an insult to claim that the white man is a racist. And moving on to the next story that we've got here, and this is a real shocker, this one. And this just shows that it doesn't just happen in Britain with the grooming gangs, it's happening all over Europe. This story comes from Finland. The police are investigating a serious sexual assault in Oulu of a child. So far, 7 foreign men are suspected of seriously raping the young girl and serious child molestation. The cruel rapes and assaults have been going on for months. According to the police, it is possible that there will be more suspects. The men raped a 10-year-old Finnish girl. Several newspapers have written about the case, including Ilta Lehti, Ilta Sanomat, and MTV. Chief Inspector Markus Kiskinen says that there may be more suspected perpetrators in the rape tangle. The suspects are mainly between 20 and 30 years old. One of the men is 38 years old. The 7 of them were arrested on Wednesday last week. Now, people that say, oh, yes, well, pedophilia also occurs among white people. It doesn't occur in gangs of white people that pass the child around them. It doesn't occur with brothers, friends, cousins, parents, and all the interrelatedness of these grooming gangs that do this to these white girls. It's totally different with Muslims because it's an accepted part of their culture, because Muhammad's wife was 9 years old, because the Quran says that it's perfectly fine to rape the infidel. The more they rape the infidel, the more likely it is that the infidel will start dressing like a Muslim woman, wearing a bag over her head, so that she doesn't get abused and molested and raped by the Muslims. So of course they're going to encourage it. It may not be all of them that are doing this, but the rest of them cover up for it. The rest of them don't report on Muslims for carrying out this behaviour. You won't hear them condemning it, because it tells them in the Quran that they're not allowed to condemn other Muslims. It's just not done. You don't inform on your own community. So it gets covered up, and it gets tacitly encouraged by the imams, especially the imams abroad, who really don't hold back when they're talking about Sharia and what it says in the Quran. And then you have the fake progressive imams that you have here over here in Europe, and they cover up for it and say, oh no, that's really not what the Quran says, and the politicians just go along with it and say, oh, Islam is a religion of peace, it's totally against Islam to rape the infidel. I know this because our moderate imam told us so. Never mind what they say in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, and the capital of Islam. And the men allegedly assaulted the child during the autumn in the men's apartments in Oulu. The police are reticent with the details of the case and do not reveal how the girl and the men came into contact with each other. But the discovery of the suspected crimes should not have come from the girl's parents. Not quite sure what they're trying to get across there in that last bit. I have colleagues in Finland, and one of them lives in a fairly remote village, and even there they've got problems with Muslims molesting the schoolgirls and the students. And this is happening wherever they've been imported to. I just remember that game they played, Taharush, which is now coming to Europe, where Muslim men will surround a white girl, or young Muslim teenagers will surround a white girl, and they'll all start molesting her. And the ones on the outside will keep anybody from seeing what's going on and getting in to help. And this is just a manifestation of Islam. It happens wherever you have a majority of Muslims. And they're going to continue doing this until our white women dress up in bags and the country becomes Islamic. That's the whole point of Islam, is to conquer the world for Islam, and this is a part of it. Recently, 5 Afghanis gang-raped and humiliated a 19-year-old Finnish girl in Senajoki in western Finland. The girl felt so badly afterwards that she wanted to take her life. I think I remember reading about that one. This might have actually been a nationalist girl as well, and these Afghans raped her for being a racist. I couldn't be absolutely 100% certain on that, but I'm sure that was one of the news stories that I read recently. Shocking news there from Finland, but this is what's going on all around Europe, and the only way to stop it is to stop any more Muslims coming in. Any Muslims that break the law like this should be deported. Eventually, they should all be deported. They should be given enticements for them to go back to their own countries. Offer them $10,000 or whatever to go back to Syria, to go back to Afghanistan, so they could be a millionaire there. In the long run, it would save Europe a hell of a lot of money to be doing that, rather than all the resources that we are paying in welfare and education and everything else that goes to these freeloaders that have contributed nothing to the building of our civilization. All they've ever done is tried to hijack our people, sell them as slaves, and attack our civilization. Well, I've got some good news to finish with, and this is good political news, a good political party that is standing up for our civilization and fighting back. Right-wing populist Vox Party has entered a Spanish regional parliament for the first time after gaining 11% of the vote in Andalusia on Sunday, according to exit polls. Vox has won 12 seats in Spain's most populous region, according to preliminary results, where around 99% of the votes have been counted, Reuters reports. In less than 3 years, Vox has risen from 1% to 11% and is now the third largest party in the Andalusian province of Almeria. Now, the Vox Party, I only heard of them recently, a few months back. There was a video that they released where they were giving a speech, and it was shortly after a large gang of Africans had broken into Spain. And they were using plastic squirty bottles that were filled with chemicals. The police believed there was bleach in these bottles. It could have been acid. It could have been, God knows what it could have been. It could have been biological weapons. And this was being squirted at the police. And the police didn't even have any weapons. And these Africans had stormed the fence. And they knocked the police over, and hundreds of them just ran along the road cheering and shouting and dancing, and they just headed straight for a refugee welcoming centre that was right there on the border, like a magnet for them to head to once they had broken in. And the police couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't stop them. And this video did the rounds. It's a shocking film to see, because it's quite clear that these guys are just after whatever they can take from Europe. And Vox had a representative that was on the border, and they gave a speech, and it was a really good speech. And he was talking about how they needed to have armed guards there and not the police, a proper force. They needed to send back all the criminals, deport the troublemakers, and prevent any more immigration. I mean, this is a good ethno-nationalist party. And to think that they have shot up from 1% to 11% in 3 years, and they're now the third largest party in this province, this is really good, encouraging news. The results in Andalusia, normally a left-wing stronghold where 20% of the country's population lives, represents a first major gain for right-wing populism in Spain, which is currently led by socialist Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. Now, this is very good, because Spain, we did think, well, that's it, Spain's lost. It's got these communist guys in charge, and it looks like there's no chance of them being removed from power. Italy's now got a nationalist government, but it looked like Spain had headed the other way, and it was going for a communist government. So this is a real turn up for the books that Vox are now doing well there. Europe Elects reports that The electoral defeat of the centre-left PSOE, the S and D, in today's regional election in Andalusia reflects the downwards trend of almost all centre-left, social democratic and socialist parties in Europe. That's excellent news. That's the whole of Europe this is happening. Socialists have governed the southern region since the end of Franco's rule in 1975, with the socialists falling short of a majority, gaining only 33 seats in the 109-seat chamber. Of the other parties, the left-wing Podemos is estimated to have only 17 seats, the somewhat right-leaning Ciudadanos, 21, and the nominally conservative People's Party, 26. This means that the left could lose control of the regional parliament without enough allied parties, with Ciudadanos and the People's Party able to form a union with the backing of Vox and others to gain a functioning majority. So this is what we want to see. We want to see the right-wing groups working together to form a majority. But will they do that? Or will they do what so many of these other centre-right parties have done over the years and say, well, we've got to stop the nationalists from getting in and we'll form a union with the left in order to do that? And this is the trend that was really bucked with the Italian election, when you got Lega Nord and the Five Star Movement working together. What you normally see is what happened in France, where all the other parties have members that will actually stand down in areas that it looked like Marine Le Pen was going to win, so that everybody just had the choice of one MP to vote for, and the left would encourage their lefties to vote for the right-wing candidate just to keep Marine Le Pen out. So we'll have to see what happens here in Spain with this, and hopefully they will form a right-wing coalition, because that will knock the communists out. Vox voters are said to have come from both the left and the right, disenfranchised by establishment politics, with one voter telling AFP that Spain was getting worse under the socialists. And this is what you would expect to see, because nationalism is neither left or right. They call us far right, and all I can think about that is it must be because we are the furthest towards being right than anybody else. Because nationalism isn't about capitalism, and it's not about communism. It's about valuing every member of your nation, whether they are upper class or lower class, whether they are the intellectual class or whether they are the peasant class. They're all part of your flesh and blood. They're all members of your family. And we need to be putting our family's needs first before anybody else. That doesn't fit into the left and right paradigm. This is why National Socialism, it was nationalism, but it was also socialism. It was traditionally what people think is right-wing nationalism, but it was also socialism, what people think is left-wing, because nationalism is neither left nor right. That is a diversion from what we should be thinking about. We need to be voting for the people that are standing up for our rights, regardless of whether they're left or right. And that's why people are moving to Vox from both sides of the political spectrum. Vox was founded in 2013 as an offshoot of the Conservative People's Party by José Antonio Ortega Lara, and the party president is Santiago Abascal. Describing itself as Christian democratic, it is pro-life, critical of multiculturalism, and in favour of strong national borders, arguing, like President Donald Trump, that a nation without borders is not a nation. Abascal, like right-wing populist Matteo Salvini, has accused NGOs of acting like taxis, trafficking third-world migrants to Europe, with Spain becoming a focal point for migrant arrivals from Africa in recent months. And just think, just look at what Italy has managed to do in the last 6 months. They've managed to stop all the immigration into Italy. They managed to stop all the boats from coming. And they're now starting to send some of them back. They've said that they're going to send millions back. They've also also starting to shut down the gypsy encampments, the squatter camps. This is just one man. What just one man can do if he gets enough power in Parliament. It is possible to do. Where there is a will, there is a way. The Vox Party's main objective, it states, is to put Spaniards first. Now, I think that's very important. It says Spaniards, not Spain. That's an ethnicity that it is talking about there that needs to be put first. Which is another nod to President Trump and his America First philosophy. With Party General Secretary Ortega Smith telling a rally in October, "Together we will make Spain great again." And that's the difference, really. I mean, Donald Trump is talking about make America great again, America First philosophy, but he's not specifically talking about white Americans. Vox are specifically talking about white Spaniards when they say Spaniards first. This is very good news, and hopefully we'll hear more from Vox in the future. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless. And hail victory.